Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus the Lord. Amen. Today is All Saints' Day. Today is a day set aside, first, to remember all the saints, all the holy people of God, especially those who have gone before us into death, and to remember all that God did in and through them. And it's also a day set aside to remember and rejoice in the great promises that God gave to them and that God has given to us, a life in the age to come. Now, about the idea of saints first. The bare idea of saints is nothing really peculiar just to Christians or to religious communities as a whole. Just about all human communities have something like saints, people who are set aside, who are identified, honored, revered as examples and ideals for the people of the present and of the future. Just about all human communities set aside, identify, honor people that represent something enduring and significant, something worth encouraging, something worth fostering. So it is with the people of the United States of America. Now, I suppose just about any list of American saints could be debated, but I take these to be pretty much beyond question. George Washington, by whose integrity, by whose perseverance, by whose leadership helped the country get started. Or Abraham Lincoln, who preserved the Union and ended slavery. Or, to pick a fairly recent example, Martin Luther King, Jr., by whose courage and imagination there was a fight, there was a struggle to secure civil rights for all Americans. These people represent, these people are held up, these people are honored for something enduring, something significant, something worth encouraging, something worth fostering. And it's that case also with the people of God. We have our saints as well, those we hold up as examples of true faith, as ideals of true faithfulness. Whether it be the Old Testament people of God, like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, or Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Rahab, Tamar, Ruth. Or in the New Testament, Mary and Joseph, Mary and Martha, Peter and Paul, Lois and Eunice, Timothy and Titus. Or people have come afterwards, whether Irenaeus or Athanasius or Cyril or Luther or Melanchthon and Chemnitz. Christians have saints. Christians identify people. Christians honor people in whose lives and by whose lives there has been true faith and all faithfulness. Now, I suppose someone might ask, do we really need saints? My answer to that question is, I don't really know. But the truth of the matter is that we have saints. The truth of the matter is that God has given us saints. And on this day, we take time to remember that God has given us saints. Remember all the saints. And not just those that we can all list, not just Abraham or Paul or Ruth or Mary, but the saints, the people of God, the holy ones of God that have been in our lives. The ones that showed you and through whom God worked in you the righteousness of faith and the righteousness of love. Now, thinking about these kinds of saints, the ones that have been in our lives, the ones that God has put before us. Actually, sometimes it's difficult to recognize who they have been, and even if we know who they are, what they have done. But sometimes God gives you a glimpse of these things. He's done that for me. Several years ago, I was visiting my parents. Now, let me start by saying that, as some of you know, I'm very strong on saying that Christians not only should be clear about what they believe, but also how we believe. So it is with the one true God. It's not only important to acknowledge him as the creator, but to act like he's the creator, to act as if God is God and you're not. And so it is also with the Bible. It's important not only to recognize, to acknowledge that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the very word of God, but to act like it, to hold them, to hear them, to keep them as God's word to us. As I was saying, several years ago, I was visiting my parents, and as somehow I guess I've always done all my life since I was a little kid, I was driving around with my father. When you drive around with my father, he does the talking and you do the listening. And that's how it went. When all of a sudden he breaks in with this comment, "You know, Bible studies, they always bother me. Now, of course, I'm for reading the Bible, but to study the Bible, it kind of acts like it's something we control, something we handle. It's God's word, though. It always bothered me." So I told him about an article which I like a lot and sometimes I cite to you, which started out with this, a quote attributed to W.H. Auden. "Have you been read by any good books lately?" And the point was, there are some books meant to interrogate, to question, to probe you, your lives, your actions. And above all, of course, there is the Bible for that. And the article went on to cite a regional theater company who went out to a expert on Shakespeare, asking him what they might do to make Shakespeare more relevant to people nowadays. And he told them it would be better if they were to make themselves relevant to Shakespeare. Of course, the idea was, in terms of the Bible, we ought to be careful not to treat the Bible as an object, something that if you have the right presuppositions, the right methods, you will reach the right answers or conclusions, and presto, you can apply them to your lives. The scriptures are the word of God, and to be heard as such. And so sometimes practices like Bible study turn the Bible into an object. And he said, yeah, that's right. I've always said that. And it struck me. Yeah, he has always said that. I bet he told me that once in one of these drives around in a car 25 years ago. Some things are caught rather than taught. It's like that. Sometimes God gives us glimpses into these things, but sometimes he does not. But today we take time to remember that God actually has done it, whether we know it or not. We take time to recognize that God has made his grace known, has given his grace to us, has called us to faith and to faithfulness through people of God, through saints, ordinary saints, some named, some unnamed. Those are the saints. Now, one thing that saints can't do, is take away, remove, do away with the troubles, the struggles, the confusions, the conflict, the sickness, the pain, the suffering, the dying that marks so much of life in this age. They couldn't do that for themselves. They can't do that for us. But on All Saints' Day, we also remember the promises that God has given to all his people, to them and to us. And one of the most vivid pictures of the promises that God has in store for us, of what is to come, are found in the closing chapters of the book of Revelation. In chapter 20, it starts with the millennium, the whole period between the first and the second coming of Christ, the time when Satan is bound, when Satan is restrained, when Satan is held back, and Christ and his saints reign, when finally Satan is released and threatens the people of God, but finally is destroyed, when there is judgment. And then there is the coming of the new heavens and the new earth, and the coming of the new Jerusalem, radiant, beautiful, glorious, lush, rich, and life in the new Jerusalem for all God's people, where there is joy and not sadness, where there is praise and thanksgiving, not lament and mourning, where there is peace, not conflict, where there is life and not death. And that's what you have to look forward to. That's what you have in store for you. Just as all God's people have looked forward to it, so you can too. For that is what God wants, and that is what God is going to give for you and for all his people. A few years ago, when my kids were still small enough to kneel at the pews and draw during the sermon, I think it was an All Saints Day, the preacher said somewhere in the middle of the sermon, "And someday you will get to go up to the New Jerusalem." I remember thinking to myself, I wish he hadn't said that. And then I hear this, "Dad, Dad, shh, Dad. What is it? The pastor. What about him? The pastor. He was wrong." He was wrong. We don't go up to New Jerusalem. It comes down to us, right? Yes. And then he went back to his drawing. I don't know where he got that from. Maybe he was just paying attention somewhere along the line in that service. I'll have to admit that he didn't get it from me. I wish he had, but he hadn't. But actually, that's not really the important thing. The important thing is that he knows the New Jerusalem is coming. He knows that it's coming for him. And the good news is that it's coming for you too, and for all God's people. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.